Even as The Artist pins its hopes on Oscar gold, another silent film is getting a fresh look this month. Wings, from 1927, is the story of two young men, played by Buddy Rogers and Richard Arlen, who enlist in the Army Air Corps during World War I. After sitting in Paramount's vaults for years, it's been restored and was finally released on DVD and Blu-ray for the first time ever this week. The movie features spectacular aerial photography, massive numbers of extras, and it was the first film to win a Best Picture Oscar. And it couldn't have been made anywhere else but San Antonio, according to Ann Hussey, a historian at Air Education and Training Command on Randolph Air Force Base.
San Antonio was the logical place because we were the home of flying training for the Air Corps. Virtually anybody who was anyone, if you wanted to be an Air Force, Army, Air Corps pilot, you came to San Antonio. You attended primary school either at Marchfield in California or Brooks here in San Antonio, and then you came to Kelly Field, where if you were one of the lucky few, you graduated, received your commission as a lieutenant in the United States Army, and then got your wings as an Army pilot.
Besides the airfield, San Antonio in the 1920s was also home to one of the largest garrisons of troops in the nation at Fort Sam Houston. When Wings screenwriter John Monk Saunders approached the War Department for advice, they concurred the Alamo City was the place to be. The War Department was excited about the project, but film historian and author Frank Thompson notes they did set some conditions before agreeing to support the film.
Every military man involved would be insured for $10,000, that Paramount would repair any damage that they caused to government property through the filming, and that the filming provide legitimate training exercises for the men involved.
And so, before filming began, troops set up shop at Camp Stanley, a military reservation northwest of town, now part of Camp Bullis. There, they pounded the hell out of the ground with artillery shells, both for practice, but also to give the ground the look of an authentically pockmarked World War I battlefield. For the flying scenes, new camera techniques were devised to shoot the aerial footage. What's essential to remember, according to Thompson, is that it's all real.
One of the things that keeps this film just eternally interesting is that they did not fake anything. And all the plane scenes were shot in the air. And when Richard Arlen or Buddy Rogers are up there flying around, they are really flying those planes. Now, Harry Perry, who is the cameraman, came up with the idea of mounting a camera at the front of the fuselage of a two-cockpit plane. So the actor would sit behind the real pilot, and the real pilot would get up in the air. And then when they got into position, the pilot would duck down. The actor would have to literally take over the controls of the plane and fly it himself, but also act.
When you watch these scenes today, they're still exciting enough to give you chills, especially if you're at all afraid of flying. To see the ground spinning behind the actors on screen is to realize just how dangerous the filming was. One stunt pilot, Dick Grace, even broke his neck during a crash. But Grace, ever the determined professional, cracked his cast off days later and was back on the set. 30-year-old William Wellman was chosen over more experienced directors in Paramount's ranks like Cecil B. DeMille and Victor Fleming to direct Wings. He got the job primarily because he, like the writer John Monk Saunders, had been a flyer in World War I. The studio soon learned why Wellman's nickname was Wild Bill. He was hell-bent on getting what he wanted on camera.
He shot and scrapped the first 2 months' worth of footage that they took because the planes were flying against a blue sky, and it just, there's no perspective when that happens. Because they wanted this to be realistic looking, they didn't want to use model planes or fake backgrounds or anything like that. It really had to look right, and so he needed clouds. So they just sat there until the clouds came, and then once they did, and he got the footage, then Paramount said, oh, well, yeah, now we see. But they were not happy with him at all.
The realism also extended to the ground battles depicted on film, including the climactic recreation of the Battle of San Miguel. Ann Hussey says the military pulled out all the stops to help Wellman and the production team.
They virtually took every able-bodied man, including prisoners in the garrison or the guardhouse, out to serve as soldiers on the battlefield.
As extras, yeah.
As extras. So I think that's just super. And there are pictures of the Army troops, the soldiers, marching from Fort Sam Houston out to the battle scene.
Thompson agrees that the look of the film holds up even today.
There were at least 5,000 soldiers involved, dozens of planes and tanks and artillery of all kinds. It's just massively huge. And also just, I hate sounding like an old fogey in times like this, but it's a thrill that you cannot duplicate with CGI.
San Antonians who see Wings will have no trouble spotting some familiar landmarks on screen in the film, including the quadrangle at Fort Sam Houston. An early scene in the film depicts scores of men out on the field at Fort Sam training with a drill instructor. Jackie Davis is the curator of the Fort Sam Houston Museum, and she says, in real life, you probably wouldn't have found recruits out on the lawn during World War I.
No, the training would have been in the unit areas. What was going on there would have been the headquarters. There would not have been any basic training going on, even though they might have had some of the officers or some of the troops that were stationed there go out and do some calisthenics like they did in the film. So that's possible.
Nevertheless, the quadrangle with its stately clock tower and high brick walls looks great on film. And if you visit today, you can feel like you're walking back in time. And though you're less likely to catch the other locations, the Wings production team also filmed at Kelly Field and along Culebra Road, where poplar trees were spliced to telephone poles to make the area look a little more like the French countryside. Sort of. At the time it was made, Wings was one of the biggest productions of all time, like Titanic, Avatar big, according to Frank Thompson.
Paramount ended up putting $2 million into the film, which was far and away more expensive than anything that had ever been made in Hollywood at that time. But the amount of money that the War Department put in terms of the amount of manpower and equipment and so forth was equal to about $16 million. So if you look at this film as being an $18 million production at a time when even the biggest films cost about $1 million, that makes this, it's Titanic level budget. It's just unbelievable, the amount of money that went into this thing. And of course, when you look at it, you can see every penny on the screen.
Why did the military get behind Wings? What was it about the movie that led them to invest so heavily in the project? Ann Hussey says at a time when military funding was low during the 1920s, Wings was the top gun of its day, a way to boost interest in the Air Corps.
This was a chance to publicize what flying was all about, what the Air Corps was all about. It was shortly after Lindbergh's solo flight across the Atlantic, so people were so thoroughly enthused, and this just fed into the enthusiasm. And of course, this is a perfect recruiting tool. Perhaps it would not have been as successful had the military not so wholeheartedly endorsed the production of this.
Wings premiered in San Antonio on May 19, 1927, and ran nationwide for 2 years with a live orchestral accompaniment and in-theater sound effects provided by a battery of percussionists and effects men. Since that time, no one has seen Wings in a way close to its original form until now. Paramount Pictures, working with the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, has restored the film to its original glory. Again, Frank Thompson.
Well, the major difference with this restoration, except for just the overall improved pictorial quality, which is better than anything I've ever seen on the subject, is that the color tints have been restored. And then there's a color technique called Handschlegel, which was actually a color process. It was not a hand-tinted thing, but it's actually a color process that would put specific color in specific places within a frame. And so in the case of Wings, when the machine guns fire, there's a burst of yellow and orange flame that comes from that. And then when a plane is hit, the flames are in color. So the entire sequence is in black and white, but just the flames and the specific details are in color.
For the audio track, the orchestral score has been re-recorded from the only known copy of the music at the Library of Congress. And Academy Award-winning sound effects artist Ben Burt, whose credits include the Star Wars films, was engaged to recreate the World War I era sound effects track. The result is a film that's every bit as thrilling today as it was in 1927. Because once upon a time, Hollywood landed in San Antonio, and with the help of our armed forces, made a classic that can now be rediscovered by a whole new generation. Wings remains the biggest production ever to hit the Alamo City, and the only one to win an Oscar for Best Picture. And as film historians will note, it's still the only silent film to ever do so as well. For Texas Public Radio and The Source, I'm Nathan Cohn.